Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today as we continue on in a message I've entitled The Living Lord Jesus Christ. And we're just talking about Jesus this week, praise God. And unfortunately, one of the reasons that many people have rejected the gospel and Jesus Christ as He truly is because of the sad and perhaps almost pathetic way that some have portrayed Him. Now, let me just say, I'm not against any church or any pastor in particular, but beloved, the time has come. In fact, it's past time to give the people of God and to the unsaved the whole counsel of God. The day is too far spent. The night is coming in which no man can work, and we can't be dilly-dallying on the sidelines any longer. To hear, to read the Word of God in the anointing of the Holy Spirit is to experience that abundant life that Jesus Christ said that He came to give. Beloved, He said, I come that they may have life, and that life more abundantly. And that's the challenge that we all have to face. I've asked myself, I feel like I'm not living the abundant life, but more and more my knowledge and my revelation is increasing so that I feel I'm beginning to walk more and more into what Jesus was saying we could experience. And the same will be true for you. You've got to have a desire. Are you totally happy with your spiritual walk right now? Are you totally satisfied that you've gained all the spiritual truth you need and that you're comfortable, or as Brother Glass used to say, prayed up, packed up, and ready to go in the rapture? Beloved, I'm telling you that there is a hunger and a desire that the Holy Spirit wants to place in our hearts for more of Jesus, for a greater understanding of His Word, that He will take off the blinders off of our eyes, that He would anoint our eye salves, that we, our eyes with eye salve, that we can see with greater spiritual clarity what God has for us. So many dear and precious church people have been presented a defective view of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you may belong to a church that preaches and teaches the whole Word of God. Praise God. Or you may have been in churches, or perhaps are even in a church, that never really presents Jesus as Savior or healer or baptizer or helper. Many people I know that write, they're in rural areas of Northern California, for example, and there's no really good church in their area. And so they depend on alternative sources such as radio or television to supplement their spiritual needs. Now, I'm not saying because a church doesn't measure up to the standards that you want and desire in a church, that doesn't mean that you're to stay out of fellowship. You have to do what God tells you to do, but if you have greater light, then God may want you there to bring light and revelation to those who are hungry, and also to pray for the pastor and that congregation. And, you know, in some respects, unfortunately, there are those who are actually satisfied and convinced, or I shouldn't say satisfied, they've just become, what, adjusted, they've become, I can't think of the right word. They're just convinced that they can't have anything better than a weary, battle-torn life, just barely making it through, trying to hold out to the bitter end. But If that might be your case, I hope to change your mind through the power of the gospel of Jesus and show you that Jesus is more than just the figurehead of a Christian religion. In fact, I don't even like that term, religion. Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There are lots of religions in the world, including the New Age religion. They even got new religion now. It's coming out around aliens and UFOs that's acceptable to the technical and scientific community. Nonetheless, there's only, in the end of days, everyone is going to know there's just one truth. There's one absolute reality, and that is the living Lord Jesus Christ. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that He alone is Lord to the glory of the Father. Hallelujah. In fact, He's so much more than our finite minds will ever be able to comprehend. We can't contain the length, the breadth, the height, nor the depth of His word and promises until and unless the Holy Spirit unveils it to us in our own lives, who Jesus Christ really is. Beloved, He's not some milquetoast, sweet, you know, syrupy, wonderful teacher that walked and healed the sick and put children on His lap. Yes, He was. He was the God and love incarnate, but He also made a whip of I don't know, whatever He made it of, and He drove the money changers and lenders out of the temple because He said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." And He is coming one day in His glory. He came as a suffering servant over 2,000 years ago, but beloved, when He comes back, He's going to be the reigning King. He will be the King of kings and Lord of lords. He will come as conqueror and will trample the wicked and those that want nothing to do with Him. He will trample them under His feet as though as grapes in a wine press. Beloved, this is the God that we serve. And just know that I am certainly making a distinction between true Christianity and churchianity. There's a lot of churchianity out there, and it's because of our fallen human nature. We might start out well. Every revival has been somehow, give it time and human nature gets its hand on it. I mean, that's what happened to Azusa Street. It was a burst in the power of the Holy Spirit, but after a few years when they started to kind of regulate how it should be done, then the Holy Spirit just sort of moved on. However, not before there was an outpouring that really went around the world, praise God. You know, it makes little difference if a church believes the Bible, if it doesn't practice the teachings of Jesus and the apostles, those truths that were written down in the Word of God to us as a personal love letter from the Lord. And by watering down the Word of God, basically what has happened is that we have a distorted view of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so often the church has become a spiritual protozoa, constantly being fed the sweets of socio-political and religious doctrine instead of being taught the whole Word of God. Now, what's a protozoa? Well, that's the first or lowest division of the animal kingdom, if I remember from my biology years ago. And in one sentence, that could describe a good portion of the church today. And so many are sitting in the lowest possible position they can sit in, failing to venture out into God's Word and view the promised land. I remember I was in, it was an email. I was someone that I know, and they are Christian. They go to a Christian church, and the comment was, "Well, you can never get too much religion." Well, how can you comment on something like that? That gives you an example of where they're at. And so, beloved, Jesus was not just a good man. He wasn't just a remarkable teacher with a grand philosophy. The question is, was He and is He the Son of the living God? First of all, we have to establish the fact that Jesus was not just a created being like you and me, but was pre-existent with God in the heavens. The opening verses of the Gospel of John declare that. What do we see in Matthew, in the first chapter of Matthew, verses 1 through 17? Basically, there Matthew is tracing the lineage of Jesus back to Abraham. And then in Luke, the third chapter, verses 23 through 38, Luke is tracing the lineage of Jesus back to Adam. And of course, in John 1 and 2, John traces the lineage of Jesus right back to God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. 1 John 14 tells us, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Hallelujah. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he declares himself to be the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord. Praise God. He is the Holy One, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty, Revelation 1:8. In verse 11, Jesus states, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. John tells us that the Word was made flesh. Jesus said in John 10:30, I and my Father are one. Now, the Word refers to Jesus as the only begotten of the Father. What does really that mean? Well, begotten means to generate, to procreate, to produce, or to cause. John said that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And of course, the disciples actually beheld his glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus was not created out of the seed of fallen man, but was the very seed of God, the Word implanted in the womb of a virgin, watched over and cared for by the Holy Ghost. The angel of the Lord proclaimed to Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you, and therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. Luke 1:35. Well, my time has flown, and we will pick this up on tomorrow's broadcast. I thank you for joining me today. I so look forward to this time, and I'm grateful that you made time in your schedule that you could share these few moments with me. As I bring the broadcast to a close, I never do end the broadcast without giving you an invitation to write. If you're feeling the unction of the Holy Spirit, if you've been in a place you feel stuck and you've prayed and there doesn't seem to be any results, then I invite you to write, because there is great power in agreeing prayer. There's times I've prayed for myself, there's been a particular situation, and it wasn't until I asked someone to pray with me that I saw things move. And so why does God do that? He does it to demonstrate the principles and the truth and the reality of what he tells us to do in his Word. So with that, I give you a loving and heartfelt invitation to write and share your prayer requests. Thank you for joining me. We'll continue on tomorrow's broadcast. The announcer will give our contact information. And until then, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.